Hey guys, that was Afel Bokum with his album Al Kibar. This is the song Jaman Moro, and he's a string instrumentalist from Mali, and he's awesome because of various reasons. One, you'll notice that sounded, the beginning of that sounded a little like blues, and the reason that sounded a little like blues is because this is where the African slaves came from. So they got imported. Mali is kind of near the Ivory Coast, and that's really where the slaves were taken from. So their music had the pentatonic blues scale with the one blue note, which is slightly flat to a relative seventh, something like that. Not very clear. So his song sometimes sounds bluesy, which makes a lot of sense because the original music was from Africa, and the huge influence that went across the rock scene and the jazz scene in America is because of this original African music. And then sometimes his music sounds Arabic because Mali is right under Algeria, which is very Arabic, and by under I mean south of. And sometimes, strangely enough, his music sounds Chinese. So it's just us, it's the way we perceive things, it's the way that we relate what we're hearing to what we know before. And that's Afel Bokum for you, very influential stringed instrumentalist from Mali. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the perception of Indians in Kenya. Now, there's a long history of Indians in Kenya. So the Indians were brought in, a little bit of a history lesson to start with. Indians were brought in to build the Kenya-Uganda railways by the British, and there were quite a lot, I think 32,000 Indians who were brought in at that point of time. And then a lot happened. There was a few culture differences that led to riots in the 1920s, which was about, I'm not sure when the Indians were brought in to build the railways, but I imagine it would be the late 1800s. And in the 1920s, there were riots. And then India, of course, got its freedom in 1947. The Indians in Kenya stayed on. They had a very, very linked to Indian culture and very, very close knit among themselves. Influential business people. Asset, it seems, to the Kenyan economy, but upper class, definitely. Much like the Jews were in certain parts of the world. So in 1967, if I get my dates right, Kenya got its independence from the British, and the British scooted off, and there were hardly any whites left in Kenya thereafter. But the Indians stayed on, and of the 32,000 Indians, numbers may be slightly wrong, and the 4,000-ish British people, again, numbers might be slightly wrong. Kenya said that, okay, you renounce your British passport, since everybody had a British passport at the point of time, and get a Kenyan passport, and it's fine. And about 4,000, again, the numbers might be long, but you get a fair idea of the story, or where the story is going. About 4,000 actually made that change before the due date. So there were huge riots. They were saying that the Indian population was non-Kenyan in nature. There was carnage, there was killing, and the Indian population went down. Either they went away, or it went down dramatically to a couple of thousand in number. Thereafter, more Indians have been coming in, of course, Gujarat and Punjab mainly. And steadily building on the population, adding to the economy, all of the affluence, all of the wealth in certain areas, a lot of politics. In fact, there are some seats reserved for Indians or Haitians. And there was a slang word for Indian, which I'm forgetting right now, and I don't remember it. But yes, for example, the sugarcane industry is overtaken by Indians, heavily political, lots of inter-community trading and not trusting people outside the community. Similarly, a Kenyan would not trust an Indian shop. If they give a down payment, they'd want a receipt immediately. This is just how it was, a little bit tense. Now, as it stands, the Indian community, although they're distinct and they speak business in Hindi, even the South Indians learnt Hindi in order to speak in Hindi, and there is a Diamond Mall, which is entirely Indian mall, where you get saris, etc. The Kenyans have, I wouldn't say reconciled, but it's pretty peaceful. It's not dangerous. That being said, only a year ago, there was a attack in a mall right down the street from where I'm staying right now, Westgate Mall, I think it's called, where, basically violence against Indians. And yes, I know I'm painting a huge stroke with Indians. They're Muslims, they're Christians, they're Hindus, all sorts. But, and Indians is only 1% population of Kenya right now, but a huge footprint on the economy, running, being in the upper hierarchy of many, many businesses, business dealings, and of course hiring a lot of Kenyans in the process. Kenyans understandably don't like that, understandably feel that they're being cheated out of something good. And yeah, that's how the Kenyans feel about Indians as of now. It helps us a lot because I'm able to walk into any shop and then speak Hindi with the owner in charge, get a lot of information. They're happy to see me. There's a couple of strange things, like the newspaper that you'll see, one of the headlines on the front page is why do Asian women love African or black men? That's the headline. So I've been looking at a few strange headlines. One of them includes don't let your man smell your smelly hair, or something like that. So very different problems that the black Africans have than what we have. That's, again, a front page headline. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play some more Afel Bokum. So, yes, a little Malian music to take our minds off this. Bye.